Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We have been following the story in Syria to try and understand what is really happening there. And we wanted to chat a little bit more about it. The tensions, the global attention does remain fixed on Gaza, maybe even Ukraine, but there has been a long-running and devastating conflict that has now flared up again. One community constantly caught in the crossfire is the Druze. They're a religious minority spread across Syria, Lebanon, and Israel, and whose quiet resilience has come at a high cost. We are joined to help us understand what the ceasefire really means and whether the Druze can breathe even slightly easier. Dr. Nir Bom is the chairperson of the Syria Research Forum, a researcher at the Moshe Dayan Center in Tel Aviv. Thank you for being with us. Let's start with the ceasefire. Who exactly are the parties to this agreement?
Well, the president of Syria, Ahmed Ashara, along with the Israel, as well, who was not really a direct party, to the ceasefire, but certainly has been, involved. The ceasefire was announced by the government along with some of the representatives of the Druze community in Sweida. Sweida is the largest enclave of the Druze, not the only one. We've had and we've seen some recent riots in other Druze neighborhoods around Damascus. There's another Druze enclave village very nearby to the Israeli border. Following really 3 days of intense fighting, over 500 people are reported dead, and the number will probably rise. The announcement of the ceasefire leaves this situation hopefully a bit more stable, but certainly not over.
Right.
This was a local something that began as a as a local dispute to some degree between neighbors or between tribes, between Bedouin tribes and between their fellow neighbors, the Druze, and it ended up being a much larger battle because of the dynamics in Syria and the tension in Syria, a country that has been involved in over 15 years of sectarian and ethnic war. And unfortunately, what we've seen here was a remnant of that.
Historically, the Druze have tried to maintain neutrality. Is that still possible for them in Syria?
The Druze are a small minority in the Middle East. About 700,000, 750,000 of them may now be still in Syria. As a minority, they are mostly interested in maintaining their life and culture. They live in their own communities, and this is what they wanted. It was a relative minority. It was a relative neutrality. The Druze in Israel are very involved in Israel. They serve in the military. They're involved in political life. They're very much involved in the society. A very active community, a community that is very much liked in Israel. The same in Lebanon. Very, very involved as well. But still, as a minority community, they want to make sure that their interests are kept. In Syria, in the new Syria, part of the problem was that we have a government that comes from an Islamist background, led by a former jihadi, a former terrorist, who is attempting to be more pragmatic, an attempt to create a new Syrian project that you know, showed actually very positive signs of pragmatism, but with a circle of people who are trying to pull Syria back to its old ways. And the old ways of Syria were ways of sectarianism, sectarian wars, and some of the Islamist rebels. The Islamists were never the majority in Syria, but they became more prominent at the time of the revolution. And what we've seen in the past 3 days was not the government fighting the Druze. There were government forces that were brought by Islamist militias, and under the custody of the Syrian army, they brought very radical militias forces. Some of them were not conscripts, not trained soldiers, but really militias that came under the military, and they were the ones responsible for a lot of the atrocities and some of the very difficult pictures that we've seen in the hospital in Sweda, when people were shot and killed, taking religious leaders and cutting their beards. And there was more when it comes to women abuse. The pictures, all in all, were terrible, amongst the worst we've seen in the time of the war.
Yeah. The sense of solidarity between Druze living in Israel, Syria, Lebanon, how does that function?
Well, these are extended families. It's not just a matter of solidarity. This is literally family.
Right.
There are families who were separated at the time of the war in 1967. There were the Druze of the Golan Heights and the Druze of Syria were very much a part of the same tribal complex.
Right.
So at some point they were separated by a border. We've had over 1,000 Israeli Druze who crossed the border, and some of them were able to meet their families for the very first time.
Incredible.
Which for many of them, and you've seen some of the pictures, is a very emotional moment.
Yes.
But the nature of solidarity has to do with the fact that this is a minority and a small community, in Israel or with the Jewish people, you have a very similar phenomena. We are saying that we are all bound and responsible one to another.
Yeah, yeah. It's so looking forward, in terms of meaningful protection or autonomy for the Druze in Syria, is there a way forward that helps to remove this or reduce the ongoing risk?
Well, that is a more complicated question, because this has to do with what we're doing with Syria at large, and how do we look at this? And this was why these events of the last 3 days have been complicated for Syria, for Israel, and all in all. You've had two approaches when Ahmed al-Shara, Mohammed al-Julani, as he was called, took power in Syria in December. One is that he is trying to create a Syria that he tries to market as the new Syrian project, a Syria that is more pragmatic, a Syria that respects the rights of women and minorities, a Syria that is able to create a model of power sharing. And in many ways, this is not just an aspiration, this is an interest that he would succeed.
Right.
Even for Israel, it's going to be very good to have a neighbor as such. That really means that Syria needs to sort some of its domestic issues and create a scenario, create a political system that enables the different communities, minority communities like the Druze, like the Alawites, like the Kurds, feel at home and feel protected. For that, Ahmed al-Shara argues that he needs a military, a security force that is going to be one. He cannot have militias, other groups, because otherwise, other groups that carry weapons, because otherwise, what you will have? You will have the model of neighboring country Lebanon, groups like Hezbollah, who ended up stronger than the Lebanese military and are controlled by other forces, in this case Iran, and we've seen the result of that. So he is correct by saying, I want to make sure that we're going to have one army and all the weapons are going to be in one place. I cannot have a situation where other people are carrying weapons. And that theoretically sounds good, but in practice, he needs to make sure that when I'm giving him, in that case, when the Druze are giving them, you know, him their weapons, that he's able to provide defense. And what we've seen now, that this is slightly more complicated. There were more details of why all of this had started, and it's. I don't think we should. It's to look at this as some linear. The Druze had a certain contribution to this, but what we've seen is that if the Syrian military is really bringing Islamists who are coming to a Druze village and trying to massacring people, yelling "Allah Akbar," God is great, and well, "Atbah al Kufar," and we will kill the heretics. That's not a military that can provide protection.
Definitely.
And therefore, the Druze would say, "How can I give weapons for this?" And since we have alliance between Israel and the Druze, and Israel demanded that these types of militias and Islamists would not get closer to the border of Israel, and the Druze live relatively close to the border of Israel, then you have this. On the one hand, the Druze-Israeli alliance and some responsibility. On the other hand, it is simply an attempt to say to the regime, we're not willing to tolerate Islamists coming too close to the Israeli border, and therefore we need to intervene. But the ideal scenario, probably also for the Druze, is not necessarily an autonomy, because for autonomy it means Syria becomes divided. And if Syria becomes divided, it means that now the Druze and needs to be have an autonomy in the Alawites or the Kurds.
Right, so then now it becomes, fighting, it adds a whole new dimension.
We're coming back to the same sectarian wars, and I'm not sure that this is something that you want to see in Syria.
We do need to, unfortunately, leave it there. It is 8:30. Dr. Nir Bohms, chairman of the Syria Research Forum at the Moshe Dayan Center at Tel Aviv University, bringing us perspective on the Syrian Druze situation.